Our second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, reading in chapter 6, verses 17 through 26 as follows. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, my wife Susie and I were watching TV last Sunday evening. I love 60 Minutes and I try never to miss it. And I'm not sure which side of 60 Minutes this ad came on, but it was, maybe you've heard it, Ron Reagan. Ron Reagan is the spokesperson for Freedom From Religion, the foundation. It started in Madison, Wisconsin, and it supposedly has about 32,000 members. And in this ad, I read the background to it. They had purchased a $200,000 30-second slot. And in that slot, he could only speak as slow as possible, and still they'd only use 27 seconds up. So they said, "What are we going to do? We got to put something in here." So he said, "I'll do it." And he added the words, "I'm Ron Reagan, a lifelong atheist, and not afraid of burning in hell." Not afraid of burning in hell. His father, the 40th president, Ronald Reagan, said to Ron's older brother, "I pray every day that sometime he becomes a Christian." People are all pursuing things. Here he is. He got off on the track of atheism. There's no God. And he's joined up with people, and they're pursuing that goal. A guy at World War II, can't think of his name right now, he was a psychiatrist, and he was in the death camps with the other Jews. He himself was Jewish. And he found, as he studied the people, that if he gave them something to do, something to look forward to when this was all over, they would keep going. But those who had no hope would die. And what are we going to pursue? Here we have a little church, it's shrinking. Are we just going to give up and die? Or do we have a purpose? And so today, on the basis of this text, I'd like to encourage you, and me, myself too, pursue the blessed life of Jesus. And remember what pursue means. It means chase it. Go for it. Give it everything you've got. Pursue the blessed life of Jesus. Now, in this text, we see that Jesus was in his, what we call his Galilean, his great Galilean ministry. You know, we know that he got unpopular later, but for a while he was very popular. People were gathering all around him, and he came to a wide open space where a lot of people could fit. He had lots of disciples. He had just called 12 of them to be his closest, but they were all gathered around, and people were coming to be healed. And then it says, he looked at his disciples and said, and blessed, 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 four times. And here he also contrasts the very opposite, four times, same points. Woe, 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 woe. And Jesus, with his typical form of preaching, said things that really caught your attention. That seemed wrong. Like for this, blessed are you who are poor. What's so blessed about being poor? Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when men hate you. Does that sound very blessed? And the woes. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are well fed, who laugh when men speak well of you. That sounds like a movie star. Who would want to woe that? Well, we can see his point. We'll let him explain it himself, turning 10 chapters later to the story about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, Jesus says, blessed and woe. And now listen to this and mentally place this right over the top of these words, okay? There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. You see the contrast already? The rich man, the poor man. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. You see, the poor man in the end was in heaven. The rich man was burning in hell. And you'll say, does that mean all poor people go to heaven and all rich people go to hell? No, that's not what it's saying. In fact, again, a few more chapters later, Jesus stopped by a tree, and there was a man up in the tree that heard he was coming by. He was a short man named Zacchaeus. And he stopped, he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I've got to stay at your house. Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector who had got his wealth off the backs of his fellow citizens. And when Jesus was done with that visit, he said, salvation has come to this household. And Zacchaeus gave back everything that he had stolen plus more. There was a rich man who became a believer. It's all what's going on in your heart. Jesus had a heart for people who suffered. We know that. And so he said, blessed, because even if you suffer now, there will come a time where you will have blessings. As Paul said himself, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us in heaven. And now I want to tell you about three people. I'm going to tell you their stories and some things about them. And see how human nature is such that we're constantly pursuing something. We Christians pursue the blessed life of Jesus when we're at our best. But there's other people who haven't gotten there yet, and they don't know what to think. I want to tell you about an agnostic by the name of Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian clinical psychologist and a professor. He's very smart with an IQ of 150. And he is on a journey of faith. I'd never heard of this man before, but I guess he's famous. and he likes to speak about things that really matter. And when I heard a YouTube, I started jotting down things, and I'm going to share some of those things with you. See, and if you hear me be really involved in reading, it's because he was really deep when he spoke these things. He was really passionate. He says, people ask me if I believe in God. I don't like that question. I don't like that question. It made him think. I've said on multiple occasions that I try to act as though God exists, and that's essentially my definition of belief. Now listen to this sentence, very thought-provoking. For me, the proof of belief is to be found in action. And I decided that I would act as if God existed a long while back, and of course I am perfect in that. You should go to church, but that's not enough, I don't think. I find it useful to contemplate the highest good on a continual basis. I'm trying to keep myself oriented in that direction. It's an overwhelming orientation, but there's no escaping the ultimate meaning of life. Something we're all going to have to face if we don't face it now. I'm not an atheist anymore, because I don't look at the world that way anymore. I'm not a materialist anymore. Now listen to this. I don't think the world is made out of matter. I think it's made out of what matters. We are not very good at teaching young people. You shouldn't do that. You tell people you love how to avoid the road to hell, and you don't do that because you're shaking your finger at them or that you think you're some sort of a moral authority. You do it because you don't want them to burn. I think there's too much of that moral authority in the church and not enough of the love that helps people avoid the fire. Quite some profound thoughts for an agnostic, huh? He was on a journey, and you see it was a struggle for him. The next person I want to tell you about is my son-in-law who passed away last Sunday. You remember him? Some of you were probably here when he came with my daughter Heidi. He's been very sick for a large part of his life, and he thanked the congregation for your prayers. He truly wanted to thank you. In fact, Glenn told me afterward, he said, in all my ministry, I've never had anybody come back and do that. But let me tell you something about him. I called Heidi up. I hadn't heard from her how he was doing, and I said, how are things going with Eric? People here are very faithful and concerned about him, and they ask about him. Can you fill me in on the present state of affairs so I can share it with the congregation? Thanks. And I love you. Well, I didn't hear anything. I found out her phone was on the fritz, and so she had to wait until it got fixed up. Well, then on about the same time I was watching 60 Minutes, we got a text. She sent it to the family. And by the way, what I'm saying about him now is all with her permission. Hey family, just letting you know that I'm going to give the hospital staff the go-ahead to turn everything off at 6 o'clock this evening. He had gone in with a heart attack. His lungs were destroyed from 30 years of smoking, from COVID, and from COPD. And he was having trouble breathing, and they put him on a machine. And so now they're going to turn it off at 6 o'clock. My prayer warrior ladies will be with me, she said, in the waiting room praying. God doesn't need medication or machines to bring Eric back. So I will watch and pray for a Lazarus miracle to knock the socks off the staff and bring all glory to his name. If that is not his will, I will rejoice for Eric that he is pain-free and living in his glorious presence forevermore. Just letting you know, came a little later, Eric was pronounced dead at 6:28. So this is what she told me about him. Now, it's a second marriage for her. She's had a rough 20 years with her first husband. It's a second marriage for her, and she wondered why God brought him to her. And let me tell you about his life. She spent an hour and a half on the phone telling me this, which obviously I need to condense. He was 3 years old when he was sitting in the front seat. You could do that in the 1970s. He was sitting in the front seat. His mother was here driving 70 miles an hour, and something caused an accident. She went flying off the freeway and into a building. She knew that she wasn't going to survive, so she threw herself over her little three-year-old boy, Eric, to keep him from getting hurt. Well, she was killed and crushed him and broke every bone in his body. And after that, he was angry. He was angry with his mother for leaving him because he got put into foster care with people who didn't care about him. He was sent to the Catholic school, and I'm not saying all Catholic schools are like this, but you've heard the horror stories. He was abused physically, mentally, spiritually, and sexually. And when she complained to his foster father, he got slapped and told, "Don't talk bad about the priests." So no matter where he was wrong. Finally, a family adopted him and took him in. It happened to be a Lutheran church where my daughter attended eventually. But this was before he met her. And the people trained him in the Lutheran faith, and yet his father, his adopted father, was a rough military character who didn't show him a lot of love or care. So when he graduated from high school, he got on his motorcycle, never said a word to anybody. They didn't even know where he was. And he drove all the way to California, became a Hell's Angel. And he was such an angry person that he was their enforcer and wasn't afraid to beat the pulp out of someone or break their legs. Then he became a rock star with his band. They started for some of the famous ones we've all heard about, rock bands. He went all over the world, ended up in Italy at one point, studied to be a chef, came back to the United States. And so you can see during that period of his life, it was a very immoral life. It took its toll on his health. He finally ended up in Tennessee where he had a restaurant. Through all the details, I'm not going to go into the difference, he was about ready to commit suicide. And a street preacher got a hold of him, took him into his house, taught him about the Lord. And when he did all he could with him, he said, "We got you a car, we got you money, go, I can't do any more for you." "Where am I supposed to go?" He said, "Drive, the Lord will show you." And guess where he ended back? In Wisconsin. And he was in a class with my wife, and there was just something that clicked. And as we talked this hour and a half, she said to me, "Dad, I wondered why God hooked me up with him. I tried hard not to fall in love with him, but I found out later why. He used me to teach Eric the meaning of love." Now, if that's all my daughter did in her entire life, it was worth it. And the last one I want to tell you about is, you got up on the back of your psalm. Could you take that out, please? There's a picture. You probably don't know how to pronounce that name. That's a picture of Manch Mazamola. She is, or was, a South African girl. And can you tell she's on a monument? You know where that monument is? It's one of 10 martyrs who have a statue of them over the west entrance of Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey has all of those people up there, and her story is amazing. In the late 1800s, the British came into that area and were trying to conquer it and gain control. And as often happens, missionaries come. And they set up in that area a mission. And this girl, Munch Mazamola, started attending the classes. Every 2 weeks, they were taking baptism classes. Well, her parents were tribal people. They didn't want her to get involved in that religion. They warned her, they beat her, they threatened her, and the story goes they finally killed her and buried her by a granite stone nearby because it was contrary to their tribal faith. Well, that could have been the end. As she knew that her death was approaching, she told the priest, "I will be baptized in my own blood." And she died at the age of 14. That could have been the end. But people started coming every year in memory of her. And then the diocese there in South Africa, they started putting her on their calendar, and every year they memorialized her. And finally, in 1998, she was included in that statue over Westminster Abbey. And that takes us right back to our text. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. So you see, there she was with the Lord in heaven. Jesus sees all kinds of people pursuing, chasing after, trying to find their meaning in life. We have found ours in Jesus. Picture him standing there with multitudes around him, and he said his heart was filled with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And can you see Jesus opening his arms and saying, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So our meaning for life, in a nutshell, with Jesus, imitating his life and his love for people's needs, can't be expressed any better than the Apostle Paul's words. As you have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the family of faith. And so now, as we conclude our service and sing our final hymn, just remember the title, Take Time to Be Holy. Take time. Pursue the blessed life of Jesus. Amen.